Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Hebrew Testament, Psalm 33. We're going to read from verses 12 through 22. It's also a lectionary reading that will be read today over many parts of not only America, but across the world. Blessed is the country with God for God. Blessed are the people He's put in His will. From high in the skies, God looks around. He sees all Adam's brood. From where He sits, He overlooks all us earth dwellers. He has shaped each person in turn, and now He watches everything we do. No king succeeds with a big army alone. No warrior wins by brute strength. Horsepower is not the answer. No one gets by on muscle alone. Watch this. God's eye is on those who respect Him, the ones who are looking for His love. He's ready to come to their rescue in bad times, and in lean times, He keeps body and soul together. We're depending on God. He's everything we need. What's more, our hearts brim with joy since we've taken for our own His holy name. Love us, God, with all you've got. That's what we're depending on. And then from the New Testament, a reading from the first chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, verses 21 through 28. Then they entered Capernaum. And when the Sabbath arrived, Jesus lost no time in getting to the meeting place. He spent the day there teaching. And they were surprised at His teaching, so forthright, so confident, not quibbling and quoting like the religion scholars. Suddenly, while still in the meeting place, He was interrupted by a man who was deeply disturbed and yelling out, "What business do you have here with us, Jesus? Nazarene? I know what you're up to. You're the Holy One of God, and you've come to destroy us." And Jesus shut him up. "Quiet! Get out of him." And the afflicting spirit threw the man into spasms, protesting loudly, and got out. And everyone there was incredulous, buzzing with curiosity. What's going on here? A new teaching that does what it says? He shuts up defiling demonic spirits and sends them packing. News of this traveled fast and was soon all over Galilee. Here ends our scripture readings for this morning. Brother and sister, friend, there was this little boy who did not want to go into the pantry alone, so he said, "Mommy, no, it's dark. I'm too scared to go in there by myself." But she sent him. He had an errand to run. And when he was so scared, she said, "Come on, Johnny, it's okay. Jesus will be in there with you. Now you go and get me a can of tomato soup." So Johnny went to the door and he opened it slowly. And when he peeked inside, it was dark and he was scared. His hands began to tremble, but he got an idea and he said, "Jesus, if you're in there, would you please hand me that can of tomato soup?" Little Johnny is no exception. Faith in God and Jesus is not a simple matter. Understanding who Jesus really is does not come all that easily either. Let me be very direct. Have you ever had questions? about your personal faith? Have you ever reached a period in your life that the answers that you learned in Sunday school no longer made any sense? I'm sure that most of us can remember our first questions and doubts for as long as we have known ourselves. So it might be a good idea for today. Let's wrestle just a little bit, some more, with the same question. Well, talking about myself, I'm amazed to notice how my personal belief about who Jesus is underwent radical and dramatic changes over the years. Even if I want to, I could hardly imagine myself thinking the same way that I did only 5 decades ago. Because along the road, new insights came and replaced the older ones. And I have no illusions about it. I fully expect that this process in myself will continue until the very last day of my life. The people who lived 2,000 years ago saw Jesus differently than those of just 1 or 2 or 3 centuries later. And since then, each generation has its own sincere struggle to formulate its beliefs and its convictions. And also, in our time, Christians with a profound belief in God offer a variety of convictions and beliefs about Jesus Christ. And as we all know, they all are far from identical. Different experiences, different roads that we have traveled, different insights, different revelations. That's the story about you and me and our relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we just read such a difficult story to understand, said to have taken place in a synagogue about 2,000 years ago, written in the language of those days. We have to do some translation in the process. And it tells about a man in the synagogue, possessed by an unclean spirit, suddenly crying out, "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Well, I must tell you, I've seen some strange things happen in church, but never anything like that. And when you read the language of those days, questions do come up. Now, exactly what is an unclean spirit? What really happened? And as you can see, the description in the Bible does not bother with too much detail. It does not give us a clue, except telling us that on that day, that particular day, there was a lot of confusion in that synagogue. So the question remains. They had to find an answer for themselves in those days, and you and I need to wrestle so many years later, seeking an answer, personal answer, for ourselves. The age-old question, Jesus, who are you really? Who are you? What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Well, one thing we do know for sure, and that is that Jesus brought out the best, but not only the best, also the worst in people. If you were on his side in those days, you would give your life for him. And if you were not on Jesus' side, you would do much, anything, to get rid of him or to stay out of his way. And that's not a new thought. We have seen it happen with other controversial people through the centuries. Let me tell you, and I think you know better than I am, because most of you have been around longer in America than I have, but there have been people who have hated each one of our presidents with a passionate zeal. No matter whether it was John F. Kennedy, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, or Bill Clinton. And do you remember the passions that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. aroused in people? There was simply no middle ground. People either loved him or they hated him. And nothing much has changed in 2,000 years. The people of those days simply did not know what to do with Jesus. Learned people of our time have new questions and amazing conclusions. Through the centuries, the challenge remained. Our question today, tell me, brother, sister, deep inside yourself, what do you think? What do you think? What do you believe? What do you say about Jesus? Because in our times, even more than ever, people still do not know what to make of this man. If they knew Jesus as he really is, their response would be as mixed as that of the people during the times of Jesus. Many would hate him, even in our days, and they would long to see him destroyed. Or many would be willing to follow, to serve, and to die for him. Question is, Jesus, would he be a welcome guest in your home? Or would he upset the apple cart of your life? Somebody critical of Jesus once said, who does he think he is anyway? God? I knew the answer. Whether we may think, whatever we may think, Christ's life radically changed human culture throughout the world. Since the time of Jesus, this world of ours has never been the same again. Before Jesus appeared on the scene, the theory that ruled the world was might makes right. If you're strong, subdue anything beneath you. But with the coming of Jesus, becoming known, with the stories being told and spread, a man of Nazareth, talking not of power, but of humility, telling us to turn the other cheek. Not only you and me, but countless millions through the ages found that their lives were touched and changed simply by hearing about Jesus of Nazareth. He redefined the views across the world of human character, of war, of masculinity, and the commitment of Jesus to the poor, to women and children, opened the way for civil rights and equality for women. Jesus always, always chose the side of the underdogs of his society. And we know that he has changed the rules for the better, or many through the ages. We've heard some witnesses this morning and some weeks ago. Somehow, the appearance of Jesus Christ in the lives of people makes a huge difference. Most of us have a before Christ and after Christ in our personal lives. And it's still happening. God, through Jesus Christ, is still working on us, you and me, this very morning, this very day. There is so much hatred, so much violence, so much degradation of human dignity. So I'm going to make a statement. If you and I say that we are comfortable about Jesus, then we simply do not see Him as He really is. Every time, whether in prayer or wherever, when I opened my heart and my life and I invited, what would Jesus do? He caused war and conflict in my own private life. He touched me and He changed me so many times. And before I know it, I fell down again and had to be picked up from the slime into the loving arms of God. You listen about the many messages that go out over television and radio in different churches, not only here across the world, you will find that it often happens that some offer some cheap and quick grace, especially if you would nod your head and reach for your pocketbook. Everywhere in the world, we find that Jesus Christ is for sale, on sale, for 95% discount. Get Him while you can, and then interpret Him any way you please. And that is the constant danger, that we will remake Christ into a meek, harmless figure, so cheap, simply to attract the masses. The Bible says that Jesus taught in the synagogue in Capernaum, and a man possessed by an evil spirit suddenly cried out, being aware of the presence of Jesus Christ, "What do you want to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. Oh, I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." Even there, for Jesus' self, there was a choice to make. He had a choice. It was a matter of choosing the hard and the difficult way, or not. It included accepting the scorn of the scribes and Pharisees. It included clashing with those who changed God into a temple yard commodity. It included even, yes it did, to stand before the rulers of his time, beaten, broken, finally crucified. Here then today, anew or for the first time, hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it also meant that untold millions would hear Him, understand Him, follow Him, and through the centuries, praise God, people are still following Jesus. And many of you got up this morning from bed with a decision to make where you would be during the hour of worship. What is our personal witness? We've heard some this morning. Oh, and there are living witnesses in this hall this very morning. Let me tell you, they are still following. I've seen in this beloved church of ours men and women of God who touched me, who changed me, and who made it worthwhile. Stand here Sunday after Sunday. Many of us discovered in the life, in the death, in the resurrection, and in the message of this broken Savior long ago, that we have found the way, new direction, and a brand new life in the presence of God. So that's the closing question. Straightforward, necessary. Who is this Jesus for you, not for the person sitting next to you? Who is this Jesus for you? Tell me, what difference, what noticeable difference is your faith making this very day in your life, through you, in you, for those around you? What difference does it make? I cannot answer for you. You and I have to answer quietly for ourselves. Son of my soul, O Savior dear, it is never night when you are near. O may no earthborn cloud arise to hide you from your servant's eyes. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. O loving God, we marvel at your majesty and power. You make your presence known to us in so many ways. If only we could have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to comprehend. Just as Jesus astonished the people of Galilee with his teachings and the miracle of his healing grace, so you work in the ordinary of our daily living, surprising us with joy and empowering us to move through the difficult times in our lives. And for this, we give you thanks. Hear our prayers for ourselves, for a suffering world. O God, we sense your presence here and everywhere, even in the midst of tragedy, untold thousands as we speak, as we pray, are suffering because of torrential rains, hunger and illness. We pray for them. We pray for our men and women arriving back home from Afghanistan and Iraq, wounded, bleeding, broken. We bring each and every one of them before you this morning. O God, show us the way to the light. Lead us to your eternal peace. We pray in Jesus' name, because we know who Jesus is for us. Amen.